Good morning. It's Friday. It is August the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2024. This is the last day of our journey through the recorded Acts of the Apostles. So it's a bittersweet day. But it's a day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin today, the last day of our series, before the Lord Jesus Christ in consecration, just offering Him ourselves. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, It's Time to Turn the Page to Acts 29. Our text is Acts chapter 28, verses 25 to 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when He said through Isaiah the prophet, Go to this people and say, You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The word of the Lord. You know, as I was reading that, I just kept thinking back to the prayer of consecration. This whole They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. They're not understanding with their hearts. And it just seems, I lift up my heart to you, Jesus. I set my mind on you, Jesus. I fix my eyes on you, Jesus. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Isn't that the antidote? That prayer is really being prayed from our inmost being. That's the antidote to the idolatry that Paul is addressing here in today's text. Well, now consider this. Paul knew how to open a conversation about the gospel, and he knew how to end one. In today's text, he decides to go Isaiah 6, apostolic nuclear on the Jews from Rome. Why? Here's my theory. There's a type of sickness worse than death. Here are the symptoms. Eyes that see and yet functionally blind. Ears that hear and yet functionally deaf. Hearts that beat and yet functionally dead. This is the worst kind of sickness because by all appearances, everything is fine. Even worse, everyone knows it but the one who has it. I suppose that's the essence of self-deception, isn't it? To be self-deceived is to suffer from immunity to the cure. Let me say that one again. To be self-deceived is to suffer from immunity to the cure. Perhaps the most damning symptom of this kind of infection is the self-assured conviction you don't have it. The only thing worse than a self-deceived person is a self-deceived religious expert. About the only hope is some kind of train wreck or horse wreck, as the case may be. Wink, wink. Who knew this better than Paul? Maybe that's why he was so slow to give up on his former colleagues. Paul knew what it meant to have a hard heart, to be convinced you are giving God the highest worship, only to shockingly discover it was pure, unadulterated idolatry. That's what we're dealing with here, idolatry. People inevitably become what they behold, for better or for worse. An idol has eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, and a heart but cannot feel. When one's worship of God becomes driven by self-preservation or self-gain, they have slipped from worship to idolatry. To worship an idol is to worship oneself. Their religion consists in self-deceived manipulation of the so-called God. If we do this, God will have to bless and prosper us, the thinking goes. It runs the gamut from the prosperity gospel to Islamic suicide bombers. Take the latter as an extreme example. People who strap on suicide vests and detonate them in public markets do this not so much because they are deranged, but because they are devoted. They believe such an act will return to them immediate, extravagant, and eternal blessing. Paul is a classic example. His devotion to God led him to kill Christians, and he had no idea of it. He was utterly self-deceived. He had become deaf to the Word of God, blind to the image of God, and dead to the compassion of God. He had become the absolute worst version of his God-created self. That's what idolatry does. Idolatry always eventually casts a long shadow of injustice. It leads people to do things they never imagined they would do. It's because idolatry cloaks itself in the slow seduction of self-deception. The Isaiah 6 card is pretty much a game ender. Apparently, Paul ran every play in his book to no avail. Finally, he played Isaiah 6, the apostolic nuclear option. Why? Because idolatry is a matter of life and death. The gospel, by its very nature, is confrontational. It doesn't need our help. Sometimes, though, we must take it to the extreme. Sometimes it will require a willingness to possibly lose our friends in order to save their lives. When all else fails and there's love in your heart for your hearers, don't be afraid to go there. It may be their last best chance. It's a strange ending, isn't it? To close the magisterial Acts of the Apostles mid-sermon and on a less than happy note. I think that's part of the point. The Acts of the Apostles does not end until this glorious day dawns. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's Revelation 21, 1 to 4. Now it's time to turn the page to Acts 29. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you, to be a living, moving tabernacle of your presence in this world. And of course, that's the whole secret, isn't it? You in me. And so again, we pray, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. And Jesus, I receive your true heart of worship. And I release all of the vestiges of idolatry that would still live in the corners of my soul, that would still set up altars in the recesses of my heart. I release those. I give you permission to sweep them out and bring, Father, I just keep receiving your deep heart of true worship. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I might become the love of God, that my consecration would become your demonstration, that our lives would become your sanctuary for the glory of God our Father, from you and to you and through you are all things. Amen. The journal prompts. Have you ever risked losing a friend in order to tell them the truth about God? How did that go? We're going to sing our hymn as we wrap up today in this whole series. It's taken us, I don't know, it's taken us 28 total weeks. We've done it over the course of 2 years, it seems like. Well, our hymn is going to be one of our favorites. We've a story to tell to the nations. And I'm going to look it up right now and give you that number. We've a story to tell to the nations. 458. 458. We'll sing it in just a minute. Just a couple of thoughts. You know, people are often like asking, scratching their heads, like, I don't worship little statues. I don't worship idols. We don't worship idols these days. I just wanted to say, it's just kind of on me to say that an idol is anything you're turning to make your life work apart from the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the idols of our time, I think they really manifest in the form of addiction, all manner of addictions these sort of systems of behavior that we develop that oftentimes involve substances that operate on our inmost being, deform us, destroy us ultimately. We think they're giving us what we need to make it, but they're actually taking it all away. Certainly, anything that is giving us security, a sense of security, a sense of wellness. Of course, the largest of that in our time, and maybe of all time, is money. And the questing after money, the thirsting after money, the love of money, the endless I'll build bigger barns mentality of storing and hoarding money. Certainly our appearance and the endless management of our appearance can be a massive idol. I could go on, but I think you get my point. This is why we said the first and last prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, we better turn to our hymn before I start preaching today. And it's something, isn't it, how Acts ends? It doesn't end on just like, they don't tie a bow on it. They don't shoot fireworks. It's just like a pretty hard word Paul gives to the Jews he's been trying to convert, and then we're done. But that's the point. It's not over. It's not ended. We're moving into Acts 29. We're already there. So it's fitting, I guess, that it end like that. Are you ready? We've a story to tell to the nations with all we've got. Verses 1 through 4, 458. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. All we got. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Amen. We did it, gang. That's Just we'll sing that chorus again as we get off today and just see that happening, guys. Faith is seeing through a different kind of vision, and we got to see it to be it. Okay, listen, we got a lot to look forward to. We're going to have a week. This next week, I have invited our dear friend Lo Alleman to lead us on the wake-up call. He is my favorite poet. He's one of my favorite people. He's going to lead the wake-up call next week, Lo Alleman. And then Monday night of next week, I want you guys, come on. It's worth just jumping in and seeing everybody's shiny, happy faces for our workshop on journaling, our Word and Spirit Journal Workshop. I'm so looking forward to that. There's a link in today's email. Would you sign up? Would you do it? It's going to be a great both exclamation point to this Acts series, but it's also going to prepare the way for Exodus that we're starting September the 2nd. Please start inviting friends. Get your journal. There's still time to have it. You order one, enter the code SOEXODUS. We'll send you two. You're already praying about who you're going to invite. Okay, somebody stop me. We got to move toward the fields on this Friday, the fields of awakening. You've got your seed. I'll see you out there for the awakening and for Jesus. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.